You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Derek Lopez.
So I've been working on my patience at home. So my wife and I, most of you know, we have 7 kids, and so we need more patience. I need more patience. And you know, the Lord does that through kids, right? So yesterday, I'm going over the message. I'm practicing a little bit. Maybe the Lord will take it to a different place, but I'm trying to prepare for today. Well, I have a girl that comes in and she does some twirls, and I just keep going. And then the boys come in and they jump and fight on the bed a little bit, and I ignore them. But then it got to the point where my patience ran out because I'm focused on what I'm doing, and my 3-year-old daughter comes in and starts doing snow angels on the floor. And that I thought it was going to stop, but she went for like 2 minutes, and finally I said, okay, you guys got to go out, right? So we all need patience, and one of the reasons I'm working on it is because the Lord spoke to me, hey, I'm patient with you, like Scripture says in 2 Peter. He's patient with us. We should be patient with other people. But who knows, that's only for a time. There's a time where God is patient with us, but then it runs out. We'll be talking about a little bit about that today, about how God is patient, but he won't always be patient. Aren't you glad you're here at church today? So we'll be in 2 Samuel, we'll be in chapter 19, but before we go there, we are expository preaching church, and so we like to expound on the Scriptures. Now, to help us with where we've been, because it's been a little bit since we've been in 2 Samuel, it's important to the story. I go back to 2 Samuel chapter 16 before we get to 19 for context. So it says this in verse 5, and so you know David is king over the nation of Israel. What is actually transpired up to this point in chapter 16 is David's son Absalom has become estranged to him through a process that has taken place. And David, some of David's fault, how he's estranged his son as well. And so his son is the most popular man in Israel. He's handsome. He's a politician. He actually goes throughout the nation and gets everyone rallied together to follow him. So he does this political campaign, and he gets the right people on his side and says, let's go take the kingdom for ourselves. I'm going to kill my father David and take the kingdom. Well, David gets news of this. Him and his people flee. They go east of Jerusalem. They go up the Mount of Olives. And it leads us to verse 5. It says, as King David approached Berahim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. So Saul, he was the first king of the nation of Israel. And he actually committed suicide in battle, and so through a process, David becomes king. He also tried to kill David multiple times, but David never laid a hand against Saul. So it says that this man's name was Shimei, son of Gera. He cursed as he came out, and he pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and the special guards were on David's right and left. And as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has paid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. So this man is blaming David. There's some truth and there's some lie in it. He's saying, you're a murderer. He did murder Uriah the Hittite, but he didn't murder anyone in Saul's family. He never laid a hand on them, even though there were people who did kill them. He had nothing to do with it. So he's throwing abuse. It would be like if the president of the United States is coming and he has the security around him and we start throwing stones at the president. Who knows, we're going to get shot, right? But he's throwing stones, he's saying these vile things, which is also against Scripture. It said that they were not to curse the leader of their people. And if they did, they should die. So Shimei, he thinks, you know, David's time is up. David was king. I can say whatever I want because he's on his way out to exile. I can treat him however I want to treat him. And so Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, Abishai is David's nephew. Zeruiah was David's sister. And just to give you some context, he's really the closest bodyguard to the king. He said, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go and cut off his head." And the king said, "What does this have to do with you, sons of Zeruiah?" Almost like she must have got on his nerves growing up or something. Because he curses her name 3 or 4 times in scripture saying, "You sons of Zeruiah, why should this dead dog..." He said, I'm going to go back to verse 10. It says, "But the king said, 'What does this have to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? If he's cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this?'" So David's throwing it on the Lord. Then he said to Abishai and his officials, "My son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. How much more this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to." David really doesn't know if he's going to get the kingdom back or not, or if God's on his side. He said, "May it be that the Lord look upon my misery and restore to me the covenant blessing instead of curse today." So David and his men continued alongside of the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite of him, cursing him, throwing stones, and showering him with dirt. So then David arrives at his destination, and he finds peace. So this guy is mocking him on his way out. Have you ever seen someone leave a company, and they get treated terribly on the way out, but then they come back? Or they're being treated terribly, and then they are given a higher position in the company, and the people underneath are like, "Oh no, what did we do? Why did we speak ill? Why did we do that thing?" Well, he thinks it's all over, but it's not. So then there's a series of events that happens. Absalom comes into the city. David sends a counselor of his that's a spy to frustrate the plans of Absalom. Absalom decides, "We're going to wait and not attack David and rally all of Israel. Then we'll attack." He takes the advice of that advisor, that spy of David. And so David picks the battlefield. He picks rugged terrain. He picks wilderness that his men are experienced in, but many of the other men's are not as experienced. They go to battle. David stays in the city, but Absalom makes this mistake of going into the battle and ends up being killed. So then the war is over. He's on his way back to being king. He mourns his son. Then he sends 2 priests back into Israel to tell the people, "Why wouldn't you just make David your king again? You anointed him once." And then he offers some different things, saying, "If this person comes, he'll be my right-hand man." And all of Israel agrees, "Yes, let's have David come back to be our king." So David starts making his way, and that leads us to chapter 19. It says in verse 16, "Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Barahim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed down the Jordan where the king was." So they're making haste, and this is the first day where David is king again. So they are from the tribe that Saul was from, and it's important that they meet the king first, because if any tribe is going to be an enemy of David, it's Benjamin. And they don't want David to think that they're against him. So it says they crossed the ford to take the king's household over, and to do so David could do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, "May my lord the king not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant was wrong the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind." So he's saying, "I was only fooling. I was only joking. Don't take it to heart. It was an emotional day." Just don't do that. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned, but today I have come here as the first of the tribes of Joseph to come down to meet my lord the king. This, it would be quick to miss this, but he says of the tribes of Joseph. He's not from Manasseh or Ephraim. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. He's not from tribes of Joseph, so he's throwing out names. You ever have somebody who name drops a lot? I know so-and-so, I know this person, to try to get their way or try to gain more favor. He's doing everything he can to not get his head cut off because of what he did. So the first time he curses the king, and the king lets it go. Now, what he's doing is he understands if this is my chance. He thinks if I have any chance to have mercy, it's on the first day of the king's rule again. Because how would it look to the rest of the nation if he killed somebody on the first day as he's the returning king? So Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, and he just wants to kill this guy, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed. Shimei's like, just let me get him. Have you ever had a leader that just has mercy with people and grace with people, and you're like, just fire that sucker. Get rid of that guy. He's a cancer. Just get rid of him. That's what he wants to do. But David replied, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Once again, his sister's on his mind. She really won because she got in his head. What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death today in Israel? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king promised him with an oath. So Shimei, he repents. He says, I was so wrong. And he's sorry, but he's not sorry for what he did. He's sorry that David is the king. You know, it's important to remember the scripture that says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes when someone says something to you flippantly, there can be truth in that. Because it's coming from what's in their heart. And so what happens is time passes. David is now an old man. He's actually on his deathbed. And he's made his son Solomon king. Now David tells Solomon this in 1 Kings chapter 2. He says, and remember that you have with you Shimei, son of Gera. So David forgave him that day, but he didn't let it go. The Benjamite from Barahim, who called down bitter curses on me the day I went to Menahem. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death by the sword. Now, do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do with him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood. One of his last commands to his son is to kill this guy. So Shimei, now David dies, Solomon's king. Shimei is called by Solomon to come to the palace. And Solomon tells him, build a house here in Jerusalem. He said, but do not leave, because the day that you leave, that you cross the Kidron Valley, you're going to die. And he said, if you leave, it will be your head. It won't be my fault. It won't be my father's fault. It will be your fault. And he says, hey, I like that plan. I won't leave. And he swore an oath to the Lord in front of Solomon. Well, then, 3 years later, he's still in the city, but two of his slaves go off to Gath, where the Philistines live, and flee. And he decides, I'm going to go get what's mine. I'm going to go get what belongs to me. So what did Shimei do? He was in the kingdom. He was given the guidelines to be in the kingdom, in the city, in the holy city. And he decided, there's something I want, something I deserve, something that is rightfully mine. So I can reject what the king said and leave. I'm sure he thought, he won't even know. I'll be back like a snap. So he leaves, he gets his slaves, he comes back to Jerusalem. Solomon gets news of this and calls Shimei in to the palace. And he says, why did you leave? Did I not make it clear to you that if you leave, you will surely die? Now, this is not only because he cursed his dad, but it's he wants to keep him on house arrest because he doesn't trust this guy and division he could bring against the nation, in the nation. So he says, I told you, did you not swear an oath to the Lord Most High? And he said, now you're going to die. What you did to my father that day, the Lord is bringing justice on you today. My house will be blessed, and the house of David and his throne will be established forever. And then he tells one of his mighty men, which is actually one of the mighty men that he kills a lion in the pit on a snowy day. He tells that bad boy to kill him, to go over and slay him. Who knows that patience ran out? And you and I, we cannot be in the kingdom and live outside of it. We can't follow the rule. We can't decide to follow ourselves as king. We have to follow Jesus as king. And yes, the Lord is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But there comes a time where Jesus is coming back. Whether we have that, we have the wonderful opportunity where the church is raptured, Jesus comes and calls us home. But if not, Hebrews 9:27 says, just as each man is destined to die once, they then face judgment. And sometimes as a Christian, we live in this area of, we have grace. We have so much grace. Yes, we are saved. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When we truly make him our Lord and follow him. But the Bible's also clear that there is the judgment seat of Christ, which all believers will come to one day. And he'll judge according to the good and bad. He'll give rewards according to the good and bad that we've done. And so Jesus, he came once. He came riding in on a donkey, right? Which is next week. We celebrate Palm Sunday when he came peacefully into Jerusalem. But the second time he's coming, he's not coming on a little donkey. He's coming on a horse with a tattooed thigh and a sword and fiery eyes. It's quite a funny picture, but it's true. He's coming with the power and the authority because what time is up? Do we believe the words of our king? That's the question for everybody today. Do you believe the words of your king? Jesus says in John 15, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Shimei did not remain with the heart of the king. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, a branch that is picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. You say, hey, that's harsh. Well, that's just that one passage. Look, we can choose. Jesus doesn't, no one snatches us from the Father's hand, but we can choose to walk outside of his will. Even before Palm Sunday, Jesus tells this parable. It's the last parable he tells before he goes into Jerusalem. It's the parable of the 10 minas. Jesus says this in Luke 19, while they were listening to him, he went on to tell them a parable. And he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country and gave himself to have himself appointed king and then returned. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Minas are just, that's would have been equivalent to 3 years' payment. It's a large sum of money. He says, put this money to work until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man as our king. Who knows, that sounds like Shimei. I don't want David as my king. But he was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for his servants, whom they had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. So the king is coming back to collect. The first one says this, sir, your mina has earned you 10 more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you've been trustworthy in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned you 5 more. And he said, the master said, hey, you take charge of 5. Another servant came and said, here is your mina. I have laid it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. And the master said, I would judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. Who knew? You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking at what you put in and reaping what I did not sow? Then why didn't you put my money on deposit when I came back to and have it collected with interest? So Jesus is telling this story about a man is made king. He's coming back to collect what is rightfully his. He has the servants that do well and do good, and he rewards them. And then he has this one that says, I was afraid, so I dug a hole in the ground and I hid it. How a shame it is that for many of us, the Lord will give us gifts and talents, or he'll give us opportunity, he'll give us blessing, and we use it on ourselves. Or we use it only on our closest loved ones. We all can make a difference. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom and in the kingdom and working with the kingdom in his way? He said, take it away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said, sir, he already has 10. And he said, but I tell you, everyone who has more will be given, but the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. So Jesus tells about him coming first and then how he's coming in the end. It's important we remember time is short. Israel's at war. Maybe the end of the world doesn't come for another 1,000 years. We don't know. But our time is going to end. I think we're really close to the end. And how do we live is the question. 2 Peter 3:10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. It says this, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people you ought to be? He says this, you ought to live holy and godly lives. That's our response to, it's the end of the world, there are wars happening, the economy's bad. We ought to live holy and righteous lives. Righteous and godly lives. We're not called to live our way. It's not, hey, it's 1999. It's the end of the world and I can party if I want to. Party like it's 1999. No, 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 no. No, there's a greater reality coming. There's a greater kingdom that we aspire to be a part of. And for Jesus to be Lord, with the things that he's given us, it's to put everything under subject of the king. Shimei did not put himself under subject of the king. My uncle and I were talking about this yesterday, about the fear of the Lord. You know what scripture says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And us as Americans, many times we don't have the fear of the Lord. The one who who breathed, who spoke, and fireballs shot out of his mouth and were put into space. The one who knows the hairs on your head and knows when you'll die. The very one who commands legions of angels to worship in his presence. The Almighty God who formed you in your mother's womb. Who knew you before you were anything. It is good that we have a healthy fear of our God. It's a good that we have a healthy fear of our Lord. To know, yes, he came. And many times we think about Jesus being gentle and humble, which he is. He is gentle. He is humble. But you know, those who are most gentle, think about a good, like I think about a good man. I think about a man that's a father who's safe, but he's dangerous when he needs to be. That's what your father is. So I challenge you, let's make sure that we choose to follow the words of our king. You can't follow the words of your king if you don't know what the words of the king are. So some of you need to start reading your Bible. We have free Bibles out in the lobby with large print. If you don't have one, grab one. If you only have your phone, go grab a physical Bible. Sit down with it. Start in the book of John. Go through the Gospels. It will give you the heart of Jesus and who he is, how he's a servant. How he's the master, he's the Messiah. Everything in the Bible points to him. Everything in the Old Testament points to him. I'm just trying to help you move steps. To follow our Lord with all that I have, all that I am. You know, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that's within me. Praise his holy name." Jesus won't have us half-heartedly. He wants all of us. And you know, the things that we've been given are used, should be used to make impacts in people's lives. Some of you need to get on the team. Some of you need to go through the growth track. If you've been through the growth track, we're making it easy on you to serve. You don't have to serve at all month long to be a part of our team. You just have to just serve when you can. Connect with Julie McKinney in the back. Let us know. Go to the Welcome Center saying, "Hey, I want to be a part of the team. I've been through Growth Track. We'll help you get on the team." Easter's coming up. We have a lot of things happening. VBS is going to come up. We need your help to bless those little hearts. Why? Because we want them to know this is a fun place to come. We want to give them Jesus. And when they're old, we want them to remember, I loved going to church. I loved being a part of church. Have you ever been on the sidelines in a game? It stinks to be on the sidelines in a basketball game or a football game. No, you want to play in the game. Some of you need to play in the game. But there's another group of you. You're living life however you want. You can't live life however you want and be in the kingdom. You can't walk outside of the kingdom and have the benefits of being in the kingdom. You have to remain in the kingdom. Amen, everybody?
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.